Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Friday to each and every one of you. Kevin taking the stripe out to the Bucknell game at Cornell. Kev won't work there.
Well, yeah,
but it
Doug,
will work it.
Well, Doug's going to wear blue. I'm going to wear orange. We'll be fine.
Yep, that's quite a look. All right. I have all sorts of... Kevin's got the friendly rivalry tonight with Selins Grove. Oh, brother.
The rally in the valley.
Okay? It's a friendly rivalry. No such thing. All right.
The rally in the valley.
What are you going to do? Hold hands and sing Kumbaya before the game?
It was a trophy that they developed last year. We'll see if it stays in Selins Grove.
What's it called?
The Rally in the Valley trophy.
Okay, we're making stuff up now. All right. Okay, what's next? The land grant? Oh, that's right.
Oh, wait, that's already been done.
That's already been done.
I'll never forget that. Before we started doing this show, I used to send you promos and stuff that you could record, as you do now for us. But I get the audio back, and it's always raw audio. And it's like, as Penn State takes on Minnesota for the land grant. Oh, nobody cares.
Nobody does care. Now, the governor's victory bell and the land grant trophy, scrap that stuff. You know what? Have you ever noticed Ohio State and Michigan don't play for a trophy?
That's true.
Okay. Just play. Okay? I mean, is there a single player on Penn State that knows they're trying to win the land grant trophy at the end of the season? No. In fact, they go out and beat Michigan State. They all look around and say, well, we're going to take this back on the plane, really?
Isn't that the heavy trophy? Is it in the land grant trophy, the one that's like unbelievably heavy?
You need four managers to carry it and the whole thing. So, yeah, it's not like it doesn't have quite the tradition of Floyd of Rosedale. Okay. Everybody, let's go out and win the pig. Okay. Tomorrow is an 8 o'clock game. So before you get rolling, might I recommend Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. You want to make sure you're fully stocked tomorrow with the best beers, imports, domestics, microbrews, a selection second to none. This is not just some sort of small store. And you go in and they have beer, and more beer, and the selection's unbelievable. It's well organized, plenty of room to move, plenty of help, water, soda, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. You always see that right there at that, right at the front register. And the pickle bar is second to none. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. As usual, there are a lot of things going on today. The Cubs lead the Cardinals 3-2. And that's big. Jun Ho Kang, unfortunately, huge. Out for the year. ACL leg injury on a double play yesterday at PNC Park. 6 to 8 months. Very tough. Clemson held on, beat Louisville last night by 3. Penn State has Rutgers tomorrow night. High school football tonight. Boston College, Florida State tonight. Steelers play the Niners on Sunday. The Eagles play the Cowboys. Yet the only text I got today was about Johnny Manziel starting, which I quickly deleted and said, there isn't a single person outside of the Manziel family who cares.
Starter.
The day he carves up your Steelers will be the day that you regret all the nasty things you said.
Not going to happen. There's more of a chance of Mariota doing that, of even Winston doing that, than Johnny Manziel.
Have you seen your defense?
Yes, I have, and I'm still saying that. What does that tell you?
They left Rob Gronkowski uncovered twice. That is a new definition to cover zero.
Who are the Cleveland wide receivers?
It doesn't matter.
Who are the Cleveland receivers?
They'll catch it.
Who are the Cleveland receivers? Yeah, but he can't get the ball to them accurately.
It doesn't matter if they're uncovered. It's like doing a 7-on-7 drill, except it's 7-on-5. Okay, your team leaves guys uncovered.
You still have to throw it to them, and they still have to catch it.
Okay, repeating it once again, uncovered.
You still have to get it to the receiver.
Okay. Again, repeating, must be covered.
Manziel is 54% for his career.
Okay. Once again, okay, let me repeat to you, if they're uncovered.
Well, I'm well aware of what you're saying.
Okay, your team doesn't cover people. They're so cocky they think they can let Rob Gronkowski roam free.
No. They're not cocky. They're just not good.
In fact, the next time they see him is usually in the end zone hugging someone.
Johnny Manziel's career passer rating is 56.
Yes, the sample size is 1 year. This is not a four-year trend.
Six games.
That's your trend?
Six games. You mean to tell me you think that Johnny Manziel is a legitimate NFL quarterback?
Oh no, but I'm just having fun with you because your team defensively just is not very good. That's what makes it a great matchup.
I can't argue with the poor defense. I mean, it's not a defensive situation where they let guys free, but arrogance. It's a lack of talent that's the issue there. But let me ask you this: if you put Johnny Manziel right next to Tim Tebow, who would you pick if you had to pick one of them as your starting quarterback?
I'd say that again. I didn't hear what you said. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I was just saying.
You said it so fast. I heard Tebow, Manziel, what?
If you have a choice between Manziel and Tebow to be your starting quarterback, and that's it. That's all you have.
But it's irrelevant. It is irrelevant.
No, this is a fun conversation.
It's not. I find these conversations, I mean, I tune out every time I hear this.
Oh, see, these are fun conversations that you have over a Brewers Outlet line in Googles, okay?
These aren't the conversations Jack Ham and I have.
Well, I'm sorry. We're not all this high. We're not all highbrow like you and Jack Ham with the intelligent conversations. We like to have some unrealistic conversations that are just fun.
One guy works for SEC Network. The other guy's starting for the Browns. What does it matter?
Well, all right. Three weeks ago, if you had that choice, he wouldn't be working for the SEC Network at that point.
No.
It's a hypothetical. It's just for fun.
I don't deal in hypotheticals.
You take Tebow. That's what you, and you just don't want to say it.
No, I don't think it doesn't matter to me. It's irrelevant. They're not competing for anything. Neither one is a factor in the league right now. One's no factor at all. The other one's starting, but nobody has any idea what to expect. Anybody else, if anybody wants to call about this, who you'd pick, go ahead and pick them, because I'd sit there and
these are the fun things that you sit down and, you know, during halftime and you discuss. And
I do stats and interviews and highlights at halftime.
Yeah, but you're unique because you don't have the opportunity to do that. When you're watching a game, though, and you're having a couple of refreshing beverages with friends, these are the conversations you get into. They're pointless and irrational, but they're fun.
No, but I'll give you complete honesty here.
Okay, tell me.
That's one of the reasons I have stopped watching stuff like that.
No, I can understand that. I mean, knowing the way you, you know, knowing the conversations you like having, I get that. And that's not a dig. That's not a dig. I'm just saying.
I'm not making a dig at anything. I'm saying it's one of the reasons I've stopped watching ESPN. It's one of the reasons I stopped watching Talking Heads. It's one of the reasons when they start doing stuff like that, I sit back and go, look, just get to the game and tell me what to expect. I mean, for example, all right, let's talk about the game tomorrow night. All right. Rutgers, the quarterback, hasn't completed a single pass or attempted a single pass to the right of better than 10 yards in two games.
That's a fun stat.
They have attempted no passes in that direction. Okay, they have more yards rushing when they run to the right than they do to the left, which gives me a feel that they're a better right-handed rushing team, right? Which means that Penn State could get some advantage on the other side. Those are the things I look at and say to myself. Now, again, I'm not a fantasy league player, so please, and I have complete respect for everybody that's playing fantasy football, looking at stats, trying to get points because it's flat-out fun. Now, that's relevant. That's relevant. I understand that because people are involved in it. I may not play, so it's not relevant to me, but that doesn't matter. It matters that all of you enjoy fantasy baseball, fantasy football, fantasy NASCAR, and there are two of you that enjoy fantasy IndyCar, but I mean, which makes it, you know, easier to win. And that's fine. That's why I've talked so much about DraftKings and FanDuel. There are a lot of people in our area that are. How much have I talked about DraftKings and FanDuel in the last 5 weeks?
Oh, more than I ever thought, ever heard. Almost as much as they've been on TV as commercials.
Right, but it's relevant. It's relevant. Picking Tebow over Manziel is the reason I stopped listening or watching programs. Because it's superfluous. I've got 24/7 to fill conversation. Yeah, I mean, I don't find that. I find it to be, I mean, stuff that's not relevant. I find it to be boring. I mean, like, it's an instant tune out to me. I mean, neither guy has accomplished really much of anything on the professional level. And no, I just can't. I mean, I'll talk about things, for example, when you're talking about, for example, let's take postseason pitchers. If I had a choice between John Lester and Clayton Kershaw, I'd pick Lester to pitch a game in the postseason. I know people have pushed back on that. Oh, look at Kershaw's numbers, you know. Yeah, but his numbers in October compared to Lester's are the difference between Warren Spahn and Aaron Nola.
But see, the point for conversations like that is you're not wrong. It's a pure speculation, and then you can base it on whatever fact you feel is relevant, and you're not wrong because it's a completely hypothetical situation.
But this is the problem I have with it, okay? The problem I have with it is that in the grand scheme, you are talking about two irrelevant people in the conversation. Neither one is a top-flight quarterback in the National Football League. It doesn't matter. Okay, I want to talk about the achievers. I mean, for example, if we were in Cleveland, we absolutely would be talking about Manziel starting this game because we'd be talking to Cleveland fans. Okay, that's your team. That's, you know, your team, whatever. This is who we cover. So it'd be hot, 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 hot. If they're playing the Steelers this week, we'd be talking about Manziel starting because they're playing the Steelers or the Eagles. Now, absolutely. Comparing as to who I pick, Manziel or Tebow, who cares?
Now the one thing that I will give you.
Okay, it's the kind of target thing where ESPN has dumbed down sports so badly in this country. They've dumbed it down. Instead of raising the bar and doing it at a high level, they pick certain code names over the years that are target names. Must talk about Brett Favre. Must talk about LeBron James. Must talk about Tiger Woods. Must talk about Tim Tebow. Must talk about Johnny Manziel. No matter how irrelevant at the moment they happen to be. And I'm not, okay, Okay, now you tell me any name in that group that is in the last 10 years has not been a target name on an ESPN Sports Center broadcast.
You are absolutely correct. They use market research to see which is a hot name that people want to talk about, and then they create things to talk about sometimes.
Okay. Now, the big thing to me, huge thing to me, without question, and I can't say the name, but the big thing to me is that at this minute, Penn State received one of its biggest basketball recruits in a verbal commitment. Huge. Penn State basketball recruiting has taken a huge step forward in the last 6 weeks, and then goes back to last year by signing Mike Watkins, Josh Reeves, David Zagulis, and now the verbal commitments they have now, including today's. Another top 100 recruit committed 5 minutes ago. How about that? That's relevant. Tebow, Manziel, don't care who starts. Care that one of the best basketball players in high school basketball has looked at Penn State and said, thumbs up. All right? Now, can't talk about the name, the whole thing. You're going to have to find that out on your own because it's a recruiting violation for me to do it. But the excitement around this program just grew exponentially, especially when you consider some of the other people who are recruiting him. Okay? That is legit. That's news. Talking about ridiculous stuff is something that's why I stopped watching ESPN. LeBron James is the best basketball player in the world, bar none. Bar none. There was a period of time when Tiger Woods was the best golfer in the world, bar none. But after a while, I'm sick of them picking out code names and shoving them in my face, especially when the relevancy level is so low. Tim Tebow no longer quarterbacks. He broadcasts. Johnny Manziel is struggling for his NFL life. And that's the topic of conversation in the opening 10 minutes of a program where I've got better things to do.
Well, at least I didn't do what CBS Sports did on there when Manziel got announced the starter. Johnny Manziel starting for the Browns against Marcus Mariota's Titans. I did not do that.
Let's take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. News Radio. I don't want to do a show where I dumb down sports. I don't want to do that. I don't want to talk. I also want to explain things so the audience understands and they're on the same page as we are and enjoying sports. That's why I've talked about DraftKings Fantasy. I think that's all cool and all great. If I don't participate, that doesn't mean I'm against it. It just means either don't have time to do it or at the same time, it just doesn't interest me. But that doesn't mean I'm not smart enough to know that a lot of people are into it and I love talking about it. Stuff like that, okay, that's ESPN dumbing down sports, and I'm sick of what they're doing. We'll come back with more.
It's September, and Sunbury Motors Kia is not going to be fair. We're gonna be fabulous. Fabulous as in fabulous financing. 0% APR financing for up to 66 months on all remaining 2015 Kias, as well as our 2016 Sereno and Forte. Fabulous prices. Every new Kia will be deeply discounted and prices clearly marked. And we have 96 new Kias to choose from. Fabulous dealer. Sunbury Motors has been a trusted name for 100 years. Fabulous warranty. All new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. So hurry in and visit us on the fabulous strip in Hummel's Wharf or at sunburymotors.com. Oh, and if you still want fair, we'll meet you in Bloomsburg at the end of the month.
Financing to well-qualified customers through KMF. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hubbell's Wharf. And, of course, this is Friday. Stock up for what is going to be a spectacular weekend weather-wise that includes a primetime matchup at Beaver Stadium with Rutgers. You need to stock up at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And they don't name it the beverage supermarket unless they have a great reason. Here are the reasons. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection anywhere. Laid out beautifully, plenty of help to get all the beer to the car. On top of it, they have water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is second to none. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sudbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up tonight. As soon as the show's over. We want you to, in fact, you can get in the car now and you can put on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Listen to the show as you drive over to Brewers Outlet to stock up. You have our permission to do that. Then stock up and then turn the radio back on. It's all good. Penn State basketball recruiting just continues to be on the push, on the move. Had a long talk with Patrick Chambers this morning. A lot of hard work. And obviously, I am not allowed to talk about specific players and what they're doing until they officially sign in the early signing date in November. But they have another verbal commitment along the way. They've had four so far in this recruiting cycle. The guys I can talk about are the guys they had last year that are now on campus, out there working out now. David Zagulis, Josh Reeves from Oak Hill, Mike Watkins from the Philly area. And they continue to push and work hard, adding pieces to the puzzle. So, but check it out. You can find out more along the line, because I can't go any further to say, except things are moving forward in many areas. Let's bring in Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Reporter. Tony, welcome. Great to have you back.
Oh, good to be with you.
All right, Tony. Let's get to Jung Ho Kang. That's a tough one there. How do they absorb that one, especially with the timing of it?
Yeah, I mean, the timing of it, you know, at a time when runs are going to be very, very difficult to come by, it's definitely tough to lose a big bat right in the middle of the lineup. And let's face it, Steve, that's what Jung Ho Kang has become. He was one of their most clutch hitters. And really, aside from McCutcheon, I think you could make the argument, perhaps Starling Marte would be next, but you could certainly make the argument that he's the number two bat in that lineup. They've been extremely consistent, and, you know, the power has really, really picked up in the second half. Now, all that said, you know, and again, the timing is certainly tough, they should have the depth to withstand it. I'm not saying they're a right. better team without him in the lineup, but, you know, the infield depth that they have, Jordy Mercer is a guy who hit 270 down the stretch run last year. We know what Josh Harrison can do, and obviously now it looks like your everyday third baseman is going to be Aramis Ramirez. I think it hurts them defensively because it really means that they can't hide Pedro Alvarez anymore. Right. You know, they used to be able to hide him a little bit with Ramirez at first base. Not that he was that much better, but he was better. And they're going to be a little bit more susceptible now because they lose a big right-hand bat. They're going to have a little bit more left-handed bats probably in the lineup.
Jung Ho Kang did an incredible job. And I pointed this out a couple times. Whomever scouted him deserves all the credit in the world. And not only that, what really strikes me, and Tony, you're around that clubhouse, for someone who probably knew no English at all when he got there, he really is really popular in that clubhouse, isn't he?
And that, yes, he is, and that goes a long way toward describing what his personality is like. I mean, you have to, you know, remember how he came to this team. The basic idea, and this was never stated by the Pirates, but it was kind of on the exterior, was that eventually this was going to be the guy who was going to push Neil Walker out of town. Neil Walker was probably going to be deemed too expensive, and if this guy worked out, He may not play shortstop, but wherever he played, he was probably going to end up pushing Neil Walker out of town. And it took a little bit of time. And again, you mentioned the fact that he spoke no English. Gregory Polanco was probably the only guy at the very beginning who, you know, warmed up to him right away. And I give Polanco some credit for doing that, for going out of his way to do that. But yeah, I mean, he became part of the everyday, you know, looseness of that clubhouse, and he really fit right in, and he was a pretty popular guy. So there's no question that, you know, not only is his bat going to be missed, but there is something, you know, to be said for a clubhouse that has chemistry, and he was certainly a big part of that.
In the last couple of weeks, Clint Hurdle, he played Sean Rodriguez at shortstop. Yep. He then in the day-night doubleheader changed the lineup up a bit. Some fans have been a little upset with a couple of things he's done because they feel it's the stretch run, that it's not July when you do things like that. How have you viewed that?
Yeah, I think that there's some legitimacy to that. I mean, that day-night doubleheader, they used 17 different starters. Andrew McCutchen was the only guy to start both games. But, you know, they were facing John Lester. This was a very, very big series. And Pedro Florimón is getting four at-bats at shortstop. I mean, you know, again, that's a nice guy to have, give you a couple of bats or you know, give somebody a break on a Sunday afternoon after a night game on Saturday in June or July. But or a pinch run in September. But, yeah, I think there is some legitimacy to that. And Hurdle did say after this last Cubs series that the regulars are going to play pretty much every day the next 2.5 weeks. Well, you know, some people do feel like he maybe gave some games away or at least gave some at-bats away. And I think that's a valid criticism.
Yeah. What about the rotation part of it? Because the Cubs are in an advantageous position. They know they're not going to win the division.
Right.
So they've already set it up, and Joe Maddon's announced that Jake Arrieta is going to be the starting pitcher in that playoff game once they clinch it. The Pirates, who, by the way, actually are closer to the Cubs right now than they are to the Cardinals in reality, still, especially with all those games with the Cardinals coming up, can win the division. They're really in the same spot they were in last year. How does he want to handle this?
Well, you know, he hasn't announced anything as far as a wild card game goes, but the way the rotation is set up, they're going to give Francisco Liriano a couple of days. They've done that with some other guys, given some guys a couple of days of, you know, break. They did it with Gerrit Cole about a week or so ago, because they essentially have six starters right now since AJ Burnett has come back. And, the way that they've shuffled the rotation, if there is a one game wild card, Gerrit Cole would pitch in that game. Now, it is possible there's going to be some more shuffling. Again, we don't know how these guys are going to do. You know, you never know what you're going to get day to day with Charlie Morton and Jeff Locke.
Right.
Sometimes they're very good. Sometimes they're what you expect from a 4 or 5 guy. And sometimes they don't give your team a chance to win. Sometimes they're knocked out after the third inning, which you just can't have. So, you know, as it's lined up right now, Cole would pitch in a wild card game. But again, I think Hurdle probably reserves the right to make some changes if they were, you know, all of a sudden the Cardinals lose a couple, the Pirates win a couple, and all of a sudden that 3-game series could be for the division.
How much stronger did Cole look after skipping a start?
He did look stronger. You know, you never know. You know, he had a little run there where he would look really, really good, and then he'd look terrible.
Yeah,
so
right.
It's just tough to, you know, I don't want to read too much into it and decide that, okay, that's the reason he looked so much stronger. The numbers weren't great because he got pulled in the seventh inning with two guys on base. Both guys ended up scoring. But when he was in that game, he was his old dominant self. One of those guys that got on base was kind of a cheap hit, not a cheap hit, but a soft hit. It wasn't like he was hit hard. So he did look really, really good. You're just looking for that consistency from Cole right now. And it hasn't quite been what I think you want your ace to do. The last couple times out certainly have been better. And, you know, there's no reason to think that Cole won't perform, but you're not quite as sure as you'd like to be.
Okay. The Steelers haven't played since a week ago yesterday. They've got San Francisco coming up Sunday at Heinz. Who's getting more run right now? Because the Pirates have been playing and the Steelers haven't, so they're getting more run? Or is it the other way around?
They honestly are. No, it's amazing. They honestly are. They're getting more hype in the papers, more talk on the talk shows. It's really amazing. Maybe it is because it feels, you know, it's been a week and a half since the Steelers played, essentially, or it's going to be a week and a half. So, and they obviously didn't look very good. I was a bit surprised, even as well, usually as well as the Pirates have been playing, the Steelers take the front, you know, the front stage, but that hasn't quite been the case yet.
All right, so adjustment-wise, how do the Steelers need to adjust heading into Game 2 after playing the Patriots in Game 1?
I think the biggest – well, first of all, not playing the Patriots is going to be the first big adjustment that they make. There's no question about that.
Oh, yeah, I mean, obviously, you're going to the JV now.
You know, but I think defensively the biggest issue, at least to hear the Steelers talk about it, was communication. It was breakdowns. It wasn't necessarily missed, getting beat man-to-man or, you know, physically getting beat as much as it was not even giving themselves a chance. I mean, they had a couple of missed coverages on Rob Gronkowski twice. I mean, you can't leave anybody open when you're playing Tom Brady, especially Rob Gronkowski.
Well, you can't miss him. That's
he's
the biggest
extremely,
guy out
extremely
there.
Hard to miss, exactly. So those are the things I think that are, you know, are the biggest issue right now, at least to hear Keith Butler talk about it. He was concerned about these guys not quite being comfortable in his new defense yet, and I think we saw that come to fruition in New England. This is San Francisco is not New England, but they won. You know, they beat an NFL team on Monday night, and they looked pretty good doing it. So the Steelers are going to have their hands full. I hate to say must win. It's the second game of the season. We're talking about September, but they've got a very difficult or much improved Rams team after this on the road, and this is as close to a must win as you can get for Game 2 of the season.
Yeah, and Kaepernick, of course, the quarterback, has the ability to run. Carlos Hyde ran really well in the opener the other night. That's a completely different style than what they saw in New England. So, you know, what does the difference in style mean for the Pittsburgh defense?
Well, you know, I think one thing they certainly are going to want more from their linebackers. I do think they're going to play more cover two. They really didn't play a lot of cover two. That's one thing that they want to do this year. They didn't do that because they felt Tom Brady would be able to take advantage of it too easily. But they want to play more cover two, and they also they feel that the zone running scheme of the 49ers is going to fit better with what the Steelers are doing this year than it did under Dick LeBeau. They think they're going to, at least they're talking about how they're going to be more aggressive from the defensive end position and play more 4-3, which they feel is going to give them a chance against that San Francisco running scheme. Now, again, if they're missing assignments, I don't know how much that's going to help. So we're going to have to see a lot get solidified defensively. Just from the get-go, you know, it's tough enough with the talent they have on defense, which we don't know fully about yet. But it's impossible to figure that out if you're missing your assignments.
Well, when they left Rob Gronkowski uncovered twice, it brought new meaning to the term cover zero. All right. who are you covering? Zero. I'm covering no one. All right. Hey, Tony, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
You enjoy the weekend. Thanks a lot, Steve.
That is Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. So thanks to Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. It's a tough, tough injury for Jung Ho Gung of the Pirates, who have been playing so well for them this year, and the timing couldn't be any worse. Let's go to Pete in Ohio. Hi, Pete. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, well, I'm actually over here in Hummel's Wharf. We're here for a class reunion for my wife. I was on WKOK from 1960 to 63. I was on the air the day you went from 250 watts to 10,000 watts, and I was a broadcaster of the I used to do the play-by-play for Sunbury Owls, and then the Chicoutimi Braves, and I'm going to tell you something. It was quite a kick. We're going back a lot of years, you know. The one thing is we live in Youngstown, Ohio, 65 miles south of Cleveland and 65 mm-hmm. miles north of Pittsburgh. And I'm going to tell you, I like Manziel.
Good. But that's where you live. He's not going to quarterback in a game in this state for a while.
Tell me, in all honesty, what you think is so wrong about Manziel getting ready to start. We know last year he was a punk.
Nothing.
He was a punk.
Zero. But it's It's not a relevant story in Pennsylvania. It's a relevant story in Ohio.
I think it's a relevant story in sports.
Not really, because you're talking about a team.
Come on, man. Okay. Give me something relevant.
Let's talk about two teams that have a chance to win the Super Bowl playing each other this weekend, the Packers and the Seahawks. Steelers trying to get back to 1-1 when they play the 49ers.
The Eagles
and the Cowboys.
The Seahawks aren't even Pennsylvania teams. Why are they relevant?
Because you're going to be watching them in January while the Cleveland Browns are not going to be in January, unfortunately for them.
You know, you may be right on that because they still have something to prove. But the point is, when you talk about relevancy, you were referring to it earlier as being something that had to do with the people here in this valley. Well, guess what?
No.
The Seahawks. Come on. I've been listening to you for an hour. The Seahawks don't have a thing to do with anything here in this valley.
Guess who's playing on Sunday Night Football, which usually draws a 27 rating?
Oh, you know, I'm asking you about the Seahawks. You were just giving
They're playing on Sunday Night Football, which gets a 27 rating and been in the Super Bowl the last 2 years. They've got people across the country watching.
You were talking
because
about
the people. Because the people in the valley are part of that 20. Because the people in the valley.
Does that not mean that the people don't care? What, you going to hang up on me?
No, I'm listening to you. The only person that's losing control here is you.
What's that?
The only person that's losing control here is you. I'm listening to you.
No, my point is you're talking about relevancy, and you're saying that Johnny Manziel is irrelevant. And actually,
that's not what I said. What I said was an argument between who should be playing. If I had to pick between Johnny Manziel and Tim Tebow, is irrelevant. That's what I said was irrelevant, not about whether he's starting or not.
As I've said many times
on the show, I'm not done yet. You've had your say. Okay, I'm not done yet. Now it's your turn to listen. I've said many times in this show, Kevin, how many times have I said Manziel becomes a relevant story when he becomes one of the 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL? How many times have I said that?
When he becomes a regular starter, yeah.
You're right. Yeah, well, I've said that many times because being one of the 32, the argument was whether you pick Tebow over Manziel. That's an irrelevant argument because Tebow's not in the league.
Tebow's not in the league.
That was my point.
Well, why are you bringing it up under the circumstances?
Well, that was my original question to Steve.
I didn't.
I brought that up as something you would have over a cool, refreshing beverage.
I said, I didn't bring it up at all. He asked me, and I said, well, that's really irrelevant because Tebow's not in the league.
Do me one more favor, will you? Since I'm an out-of-stater, and I'll kind of get out of your way here because you and I are really not in any way going to really agree on much of anything, okay? Is that a gimme?
Not really, because I don't know you.
Well, so I'm talking about so far, okay? Let me give you a little tip. After 50 years in radio,
I do agree with you that
more often on the air, will you? Okay? All right, I'll talk to you. Take care.
Hey, enjoy your reunion, by the way. I hope it's a lot of fun for you. It's great to have you back. And by the way, thanks, Pete, for the years you gave to WKOK as well. You know, it's because of work that you did along the way,
back in the, I think you said the 60s. It's because of work like that that set the table for us to do work like this today, and I appreciate it. We will come back, top of the hour, news, and then we'll follow it up with open lines on News Radio 1070 WKOK.